In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. With these words, our Lord Jesus Christ shatters any kind of delusion that we might have about freedom, autonomy, or ownership. With these words, our Lord Jesus makes it quite clear that how you use your body and the way that you live your life matters, because your body and your life belong to God. Now, the fact that your body belongs to God is in many ways precisely the point that our Lord Jesus is making in today's gospel text, as he teaches how the image of God being upon us affects what we do with our bodies. But notice that this is not the question that is being asked of Jesus. The Pharisees, per their usual ways, are out to entangle Jesus in his talk. But they don't go themselves. They send their disciples along with the Herodians to ask Jesus this question that they have concocted. It is a question that is not just a haphazard question. It's a question that is very specifically designed to trap Jesus. No matter what he does, so they think, no matter what he does, he will walk into their trap, whether he responds to their question in either direction, or even if he refuses to answer the question, they think that they've got him trapped. He will spring the trap no matter what he says or refuses to say. Jesus is wiser than they are, of course. He sees through this snare, and he knows exactly how to get out of it. But of course, there's something much deeper going on here. As the Pharisees send their disciples to ask this question of Jesus, the question that they are sent to ask reveals much about the heart of the Pharisees. It reveals much about the God that these Pharisees have set up for themselves, the God that is at the root of their hatred toward Jesus, their hatred for Jesus, their desire to trap him in his words, of course, is not their main problem. It is just a symptom of the fact that they don't have the God of Israel, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. They don't have that true God as their God. And their question reveals what their God is. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Of course, Caesar is not the true God of these Pharisees and their disciples. They will later in Matthew's gospel, not too long later, in fact, sell themselves out to Caesar in front of Pontius Pilate as they boldly confess, "We have no king but Caesar," but Caesar is not their true God. They're willing to sell themselves out to him at when it is convenient for them to do so. But no, their true God is not Caesar. Their true God is money, power, themselves. This is at the heart of this question. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? The question is, what is mine and what is his? What do I have to give to Caesar and what do I get to keep for myself? But our Lord's response, as we said, shatters any delusions of ownership, freedom, or autonomy. What is mine? What do I get to keep? Those questions don't matter. Because what really matters is that you have been made in the image of God. And so Jesus responds and says, "Show me the tax money." The denarius was the Roman coin that was used to pay taxes, a coin that was produced by the Romans, and it, of course, was a coin that had an image of Caesar upon it. And so when this coin is produced, our Lord could point to it and ask, "Whose image and inscription is this?" And it was plain for everyone to see. The image was that of Caesar. And so our Lord says, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's." Or we could paraphrase his words and say, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that bear Caesar's image. And render to God the things that are God's." Render to God that which bears God's image. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. You and I have been made in the image of God. And so we can say quite clearly and definitively that our body belongs to God because we have been made in his image. And so in a very real way, our Lord's teaching here to these disciples of the Pharisees and the Herodians is a teaching and a call to the first commandment, to fear, love, and trust in God above all things, because he is our God. We have been made in his image. And so your body belongs to God, but so too does your life. God is the creator of this world. And so naturally, he has ownership over all the world and you along with it. Except, of course, there's the little problem of sin. Sin has distorted and corrupted the image of God within us. It's still there, but it's corrupted. And through that corruption, death and the devil now have a claim over the human race. In a very real sense, the life of all humans belongs to the devil because we are destined for an eternity in hell. But our life as Christians still belongs to God because he has seen our helpless state and he has rescued and redeemed us from this sinful condition. And so our Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven for us men and for our salvation. He was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. He who is God from all eternity, out of love for you who have been made in his image, saw your sin-filled, helpless state and decided to take your image, the image of humanity, upon himself, becoming human so that he might redeem you with his holy and precious blood, with his innocent suffering and death. And so we who have been made in the image of God, who have been corrupted, distorted in that image, have then been redeemed and bought back by our Lord Jesus Christ. And so not only does our body belong to God, but so too does our life and our entire existence belong to him. Therefore, our Lord teaches us to render to God the things that are God's, namely, our entire life. everything that we have. Therefore, the teaching of our Lord is clear that we are to use our body and our life to honor God. Now, there are any number of applications that we can make from this, any number of areas of theology, any number of commandments which would be applicable here. Certainly, the teaching on money and stewardship is relevant in light of the Pharisees' question about money. But there is perhaps no more truly relevant topic, no more truly relevant commandment to this discussion of using our body and life to honor the Lord than the sixth commandment. We read in our study of 1 Corinthians a few weeks ago from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where the Apostle Paul says, "Flee from sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Especially in the realm of sixth commandment sins, when you defile yourself, you defile that which belongs to God. And so our Lord's teaching from the Sermon on the Mount is quite relevant here when he says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you, whoever even looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." And so whether it is in person, whether it is a person on a computer screen or some delusion concocted in your mind, looking with lust upon another person is to defile yourself. It is to defile the very image of God. But perhaps an even worse perversion of this commandment are the acts of the body. And this is precisely what Paul is talking about when he talks about he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. And so we in the church must be very clear about the teaching regarding marriage, because there is so much that our world has distorted out there that it's easy to see the extremes as the bad stuff and to lose sight of the less extreme stuff as still being sinful. And so we need to be clear that marriage, according to the teaching of the scriptures, is between one man and one woman. Living together outside of marriage, defiling the marriage bed in any of those sorts of ways is a sin. It is to defile yourself. It is to defile the very image of God. It is to defile the person that our Lord Jesus has poured out his precious blood to redeem. And so we must heed the Apostle Paul's words and flee from sexual immorality. It is not as if these sins are unredeemable. But one who remains in sin is in danger of falling into precisely what the Pharisees did, thinking that they were believers when in fact they had set up their own gods for themselves. But one who flees from sin, one who flees from sexual immorality to our Lord's forgiveness and absolution through repentance will be saved. Now, we shouldn't be surprised when we sin, when those around us sin, right? Sin is a part of our condition. Though we have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, we still are corrupted by sin until our Lord Jesus returns to restore all things. We shouldn't be surprised by sin, but we also can't give in to it either. We must flee from sin, resist its urges as the best that we can, and turn to our Lord for forgiveness and help to change and amend our ways when necessary. Because when we don't do that, when we simply go with the flow and allow ourselves to follow in the path of our world, we begin to act as if we belong to Caesar, as if we belong to this world rather than belonging to God. And so as Christians, we struggle against sin. Knowing that we will sin, we still struggle against it. But as we struggle, we do so in hope. We struggle in hope, knowing that this is not the end. Something better is in store for us, because this world, this corrupted, sin-filled world, is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven, as the Apostle Paul tells us, from which we also eagerly, yes, eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Christ is coming back. He will restore the brokenness of this world. And we eagerly wait for that day. But until then, we must constantly remember, as our Lord teaches us, that our body and our life belongs to God. His image has been placed upon us. He has redeemed us with his holy and precious blood. And so we must struggle against sin so that we can live like these realities are true as we render to God the things that are God's. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.